I don't even know if, just to be very clear at the front of this message, if I'm going to get to the actual message today. I believe I might be able to, but I've been burdened for the last several days via the Holy Spirit on just having a heart-to-heart talk with our congregation. And so if you'll just give me the freedom, I'm not, it's one of those things where the person has a microphone that says, give me the freedom. It's like, not that you really have a choice. I'm going to do it anyways. But I've been burdened over the last several weeks. Yeah, Lisa was like, hit the mute button up there. I love it. Me and you are on lockstep right there. I love it. It's beautiful. I really do believe that the Lord is wanting to use this burden that's been created in my life over the last 3 or 4 days to communicate an urgency to our church of where we're supposed to be. Again, I feel this burden in my heart, and it was really given some words as I went this last weekend to the Amplify Fine Arts Festival. I just want you to know, as a church, you have some of the greatest young people that God has ever created in this church. They are talented. They are together. When I watched, and I don't want to start naming students because all of them are special, but when I started watching what someone like Bella Hindy and Hannah Snook did with my own son, Jace, and include him in a song, and Jace actually had a rap portion of the song. If you guys don't know what rap is, you guys are going to find out here in the next couple Sundays as some of the kids deploy their gifts. But man, what a beautiful thing it was to watch as they were getting ready to do short sermon. My son was cracking me up. He was so nervous when he did his short sermon. He stumbled through some words. But man, the fact that he did it is a win. And he came up after me, and this is my son, just so you know, Jace. He goes, you know what I forgot to do, Dad? And probably the reason why I didn't go to Nationals is because I didn't have a hanky and wipe off my sweat like you. There we go. All right. Now I'm preaching. So, you know, you have to know that my family gives it worse to me than anybody in the church could. And so it's pretty awesome to be humbled like that. But at this fine arts festival, the fine arts director of the nation, her name is Holly Davis. She spoke this word on Friday night and used this modern day parable to talk about where she believes the church is at. And it was actually super profound. She said that she took this trip to Alaska, and it was her first time being able to experience bears in the wild. And she was watching these ferocious beasts feast on salmon, attack each other, charge after other live animals. And it was, to be that close to something so ferocious was really a opportunity of a lifetime, as she explained it. It wasn't a couple weeks later that she went to her local zoo and saw the same grizzly bears domesticized in a zoo and saw what they had turned into. And she brought this modern day parable and said that is largely what has happened in the church. We have turned warriors into wimps. We have turned people that have actually are supposed to be proclaimers of the gospels to church pew warmers. And if we're not careful, we'll actually use our giftings and talents and put them in a box and not let them loose. And this thing hit me. I remember being on a missions trip, I don't know, 5 years ago now in Mexico, and we were out there helping orphanages. And I'm not talking about the Americanized orphanages, and praise God for those. I'm talking about the orphanages where they live on beans and rice, and it takes about $2,500 or $3,000 a month to run an orphanage for about 16 to 18 kids that are thrown away. And we were down there helping in the middle of it, and we took a day like most American missionary trips do from America. We went to the La Bufadora out of Ensenada. We went to the touristy part. And we went to this, the best way to describe it is this rainforest cafe style thing in downtown Ensenada. And on the outside of this rainforest cafe is this decorated restaurant that has like vines and it has lightning flashes every 20 or 30 minutes. It's like a Disney-themed kind of restaurant. You guys tracking with me? Some of you guys are giving me blank stares like, what's Rainforest Cafe? And so we walked in, and there was a sign on the outside that said, play and pet Bengal tigers inside. And so I took about 20 or 25, you know, youth kids and young adults and some people there, and we walked by the first. There was like four different sections, and it was like as you eat, you get to watch these Bengal tigers play with American tourists. And the first one was these little baby Bengal tigers that were so cute, and they were like playing them like they're cats. And this is a true story. And I was like, I don't know if I agree with this. I'm sure they're breaking many laws in doing this. I would never do it, but I was sort of fascinated as I walked with the baby Bengal tigers, and they were, you know, rawr. And the second, it was like the adolescent tigers as they were growing up, they got bigger. So at the second window, there was another American family that was playing, and you could tell that they were a little more scared. And so I'm literally walking by. The third one was like the teenage Bengal tigers, and the people are like in the cage with it, like throwing it. Like throwing a fetch stick, and they're like, we really don't want to be here. We don't even know why we signed up for this. This is a true story. I get to the fourth one, and the adult Bengal tiger had an American tourist by the arm, and blood was going everywhere. And so I'm looking at the restaurant, and people are just eating their barbecue chicken wings and chips and salsa, and here an American's getting mauled by a Bengal tiger. And I'm sort of wondering, like, what is going on here? Like, this is probably the most craziest scene that you can walk up into. The trainer had a big baton and trying to smash the Bengal tigers. I mean, it was talk about getting your adrenaline up in a heartbeat. And I'm like looking at the audience sitting down going, why aren't we helping this person? And they're looking at me like, you first. You know what I'm saying? So they find, you know, the tiger finally, you know, let go, and the people get rushed out, and then they started putting the signs up that the Bengals are done playing for the day, and makes perfect sense. What I believe the picture that the Lord is wanting of the church today is to stop being domesticized and actually becoming dangerous again. Domestic Christians don't change their world. Dangerous ones do. It's funny about the zoo animals. The reason why they get domesticized is because someone feeds them. People leave churches because they're not getting fed. I don't like... I was on Facebook this morning, and I connect with some pastors and message them and say we're praying for their services, but I saw someone came up to Francis Chan one time after service and said, I didn't enjoy worship today. And he said, great, because we weren't singing about you anyways. To become dangerous again as a church. And I'm not talking about Peter chopping an ear off dangerous. I'm talking about that when you wake up at 6:30 or 6 or 5:30 a.m. or 7 a.m., whenever you wake up, the devil begins to tremble again because a dangerous believer or Christian is set loose in their world. It's almost like the church is full of a bunch of lions who don't know how to roar anymore. And the hope is that the church will begin to find their passion, begin to find their vigor, their spirit. Because I don't know about you, I have yet to read where your age, both young or old, disqualifies you for being a man or woman of God. If you can find it, please let me know. But if you're retired in this church, you're not past your prime. If you're young in this church, you don't have to wait for your prime. That God can use you to be a dangerous Christian today. Today, revival's not coming tomorrow. Revival is here in Jesus' name. And what makes those zoo animals domestic, is someone feeds them and they've lost the art of doing what they were created to do in the first place and finding their own purpose and feeding themselves. I'm thankful that the Lord has allowed me as a pastor to have a salary, to be able to come in here and in Jesus' name bring revival to a community and a church, but I am not the primary source of your food. If I'm the primary source of your food, what you're saying is I've been domesticized as a Christian. It is my job to get the paddles of the Holy Spirit and to shock a congregation and to say, you shall live and you shall not die. You're not a victim, you're a victor. You're going to make it. Look at me in your eyes, every one of you. You're going to make it. You're going to be men and women of God. You're going to see a world and a region change for Jesus when you stop being domesticized and you become dangerous once again. So how do you become dangerous? You become dangerous when you're able to go to your own word and read it and ask the Lord to show you things and via the Holy Spirit reveal with understanding things in your life. You become dangerous when you allow the Holy Spirit to not just be in you, but to be in you overflowing with the things like the evidence of speaking in tongues, with the spiritual gifts in Corinthians chapter 12 and 14 in Ephesians, when he begins to set in diversity the offices of those of the spiritual offices in the church, the apostles, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, when we're not operating in envy with one another, but we're operating in togetherness, the church needs to become dangerous again. So even right now, I lost you. Pastor, I want to be dangerous, but I don't want that Holy Spirit thing. If you ever want to become a dangerous believer that stops being fed and has become domicile, you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to disrupt some things in your life. And if I am the bearer of good news here today, because that's not the bearer of bad news, if I'm the bearer of good news today, a church will say, I am done coming to church and living as a Christian in a spiritual box by which all I ever do is come to church and get fed, but I am not actually walking this thing out Sunday to Sunday. I was had the privilege of getting more and more involved in local community things as I've almost been here 2 years now. I was at Morrison Park yesterday with my family watching Jace play baseball. And the place was packed. There was like 300 people at the Little League field. 275 of them were homeless people in tents. And there was 25 family people. And what I found very interesting, just listen to me, listen to my heart. What I found very interesting is how easy is it for a community to actually sit in the place of the need and it not actually alarm them because they have been domesticized and say, well, the government's going to handle that. Well, my church is going to handle that. Well, someone else is going to handle that. When really we have the authority as believers, listen to me, to handle any issue that a community faces, but we have to get off from being domesticized and getting into the place of walking into the authority of Jesus and actually being dangerous for the kingdom of God in the community. I got four hand claps there, and this will tell you, when the Lord starts using your pastor to step on your toes, I'm not scared no more. I am believing that God is going to use this pastor to bring some shock and awe to the congregation. Now listen to me, I don't have all the answers like you don't have all the answers. But I know the one who has the answers. And to become dangerous again is to recognize where we've been, where God's calling us to, just track with me, to allow the Holy Spirit to take his rightful place in the church as God's comforter, as the guider of our life, as the director of our life, to empower us and infill us with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to have a church where the presence of God is welcomed, where young people and old people alike find themselves in quiet or loud places before the Lord and giving a space for the Holy Spirit to direct in your life how you are going to be part of the answer, not part of the problem in the kingdom of God. And when the church begins to walk and operate underneath the leadership of the Holy Spirit that points to Jesus, we become dangerous again. And I don't know about you, we have to pick our hard. You got to pick your hard. I have been part of churches that have seen downturns. You got to pick your hard. That's hard. It's hard laying off staff. It's hard It's hard laying off and that's hard. It's hard watching an addict go from normal to addicted, living in the streets because they've allowed addiction. That's, if you're an addict in this place, that's hard. It's hard. I've seen marriages that got to year 20 and 25 and dissolve and divorce rampantly just took their kids out. It created that is hard. Is being a Christian hard? Yes, it's hard. Yes, is reaching a community hard? Yes, it's hard. But it's not harder than the alternative of allowing the enemy run roughshod through a church community and a community. I want to pick my heart and I want to do great things for God. Because when you do, give the Lord a big round of applause. When you do, the kind of heart that I'm talking about is making myself available as a person and as a believer to allow the Lord to do what only He can do in our lives. I don't know about you, I'm tired of seeing addictions run rampant in the church, in the world. I'm tired of seeing homelessness. I'm tired of seeing the tribalism in our politics. I'm tired of seeing a world that's growing steadily into a place of being part of a civil war. We in America, we are so divided. Tribalism is so incredibly embedded that I want you to listen to these prophetic words. We are not going to have a civil war one day. We are in a civil war. Prophetically, I'm telling you, the enemy has divided. Jesus said it was coming. Nation will rise up against nation. If you translate it or begin to study that scripture out, it's not United States against Mexico. It's United States against United States. It's nation will rise up against itself in nation. And a bullet might not ever fly. But our nation, listen to me, we're on the precipice of some pretty horrible things unless the church of God, unless Jesus Christ begins to take ownership and is allowed to take ownership of His church. And we are led by the Spirit. We are heading into some very dark days, but we have a window. This is prophetically, this is your pastor talking to you. Prophetically, we have a window. If the members of the church of God, and I'm not talking about the members of just Parkway, I'm talking about the members that are part of the larger church, will stand up and stop being domesticized and begin to be dangerous again, the church can become the answer that will actually bring unity to a nation, to a world again, that will allow us to go run into the world and be able to preach the gospel one or two last times before Jesus is coming back. That's the kind of church that I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of a church that the devil begins to tremble as we walk out those glass doors into our mission field. That like this afternoon, we're going to hear of waitresses and waiters coming to Jesus because we've been with Him. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of being a Spirit-filled pastor because I believe the Spirit-filled Pentecostal church is the kind of church that is to be the forerunner that's going to run into unreached people groups and actually see what we were created to see. Not come to church and then get fed and then go out and then next Sunday go, well, I might be hungry again and then get fed again. I'm saying that there is a warrior that's inside of each and every one of you that this pastor is going to look you in the eyes and say it's time for that warrior that's inside of you to stand up. It's time. It's time to begin to be dangerous again. Now, this might be my first altar call of three today, but if you're ready to be dangerous for the Lord again, would you stand at your feet? I'm going to pray a prayer of declaration over you. Heavenly Father, you're seeing people in this church stand up. When you stood up, would you raise your hands all across this room? Lord, we are endeavoring as a people to learn how what it means to walk in unity, to walk in your authority and your power. And Father, I recognize you're age 42, a first-time lead pastor. There are places in my life that I feel inadequate to lead the charge to create a dangerous church. But I'm thankful that I don't feel the obligation or the responsibility to create that church because I'm not the leader of that church. You are. Your Holy Spirit is. And so, Holy Spirit, right now, here I want you guys to listen to me. Even the quietness that came over this place is a sign that we have been domesticized. So I want you to lift up your hands all across this room and I want you to pray, Lord, make me dangerous. Lord, make me dangerous. And I want you to begin to pray, Lord, stir up the gift of God that's inside of me. Father, I give you permission and space in my life to do what you've called me to do. Father, begin to put coworkers and classmates and mission fields on my mind and my heart. I recognize, Lord, that you have brought this church together for such a time as this, that revival is not coming, but revival is here. I'm thankful for the prayer warriors that are arising. I'm thankful, God, for the stirring that's taking place. But Father, only you can take us to that next place. Only you can take us from first and second gear to third and fourth gear. So Father, we declare over this congregation that passion for you would reignite. We declare over this congregation that we would not be stuck in yesterday's thinking where we have to be domiciled or silenced, that the pastor's supposed to do the work or the worship team is supposed to lead us. But Father, the same authority that is placed in the pastor is placed in me as a believer in Jesus' name. So Father, we pray your Holy Spirit be loosed in this congregation. Father, we pray for signs and wonders to follow those of us who believe. We pray for spiritual prayer languages to begin to be released. We pray, oh God, for signs and wonders and miracles. We pray for words of knowledge and prophecy, that those are not our focus, but they are going to lead people to the focus that is Jesus and the work that he's done on that cross and the work that he's done on that empty tomb, that we don't have to live defeated any longer, but we can live victorious in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Lord's reminding me of this word encourage. You know what the word encourage means when you break it down? Is to put the courage back in. So Lord, the spirit of timidity and fear that has been put in the church, not just Parkway, but the church at large, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. And Father, we encourage the body of believers in this house to take up the stand of courage once again. Father, they would be courageous in their giftings and their talents and their abilities. That they would be courageous in their words and their actions and their deeds. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, let it start with me. Let it start with this congregation, this last great awakening that's going to happen before your son comes, Father. Let it start with me in Jesus' name. Father, there's no place I'm not willing to go. There's nothing that I'm not willing to say. God, I many times I feel like the fool already. I feel like the greatest clown in town. But Father, I thank you that it is the foolishness of preaching that people are going to be saved. Father, stir it up in Jesus' name. I want you to take a worship and praise break. I want you to lift up your hands and lift up your voice in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Lord, we thank you. We magnify you. We glorify you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, God. Sons and daughters will prophesy. The old will see visions. Father, this move of God is multi-generational. This move of God is not just old and young, where the young have to go and be taught about the junior Holy Spirit. That's not what you're after. There's one Holy Spirit. You have no grandchildren. We thank you, God, that you're moving. We thank you that you're moving. We thank you that you're revitalizing. We thank you, God, that you're calling us back to our first love. Hallelujah. 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 Brooke, would you come just on this keyboard? I know you don't have anything planned right now, but would you just come on this keyboard and just begin to pray and play and hallelujah. 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 You guys can be seated just for a minute. It's going to take this minstrel gift of my wife just a second to lock in. Hallelujah. Man, I feel burdened. There's a world on fire. The things that we have prayed about, the things that we have talked about in the church for many years, it's here. To give place to the Holy Spirit once again, to speak. I talked to this church 6 months ago, and I recognize that I talk really fast. And I don't apologize for that. It's how the Lord uses me. But sometimes in talking really fast, I think some people can miss some things that the Lord's speaking. And I don't know if you guys remember, I talked about the the anti-Reformation movement that's hit the church? Do you guys remember me talking about that? So the Reformation movement, Martin Luther nailed it to the wall of the Catholic Church because there was a time when the Catholic Church hoarded or kept to themselves the written word of God as a way of manipulation and being able to say, you have to come through us as the gatekeepers to know what the word of God says, right? There was this Reformation movement that took place in the church many years ago where this word of God now was given to the people to go study, to go listen, to go learn by the Holy Spirit. Over the last 10 or 12 years, there's been an anti-Reformation movement where the people of God have taken their Bibles, their instructions, their individual purposes, and they've given it back to the church, and they've said, let someone else do it for me. And what we need to become a dangerous church again is an anti-Reformation movement, where I believe the men's group on Thursday mornings is going to become a hub of the Holy Spirit. And you don't need Pastor Jay. You don't need Pastor St. John. You don't need someone in there that's going to help try to monitor. And not that you guys even feel that way, but God is going to use you in such a unique way to reach so many unique men for the gospel that revival can break out on a Thursday morning men's Bible study. Mark, when I hear you and I, the Lord put us together to be co-laborers. You and I talk about what the Lord's already going to do as if it's done, and we get frustrated it's not happening quick enough. But God has seen the many tears that you've shed over the kind of revival that you want to see come to this community. And it's going to be released through men like you, through hearts that have been broken and burdened. And what I feel like my job to do here in this season of the church is to give you this back. You're a capable minister of the gospel. You're gonna prophetically, you're gonna grab your own Bible and you're gonna do your own thing in Jesus' name. And you're gonna see signs and wonders and miracles prophetically through what God's called you to do. And people are gonna come to this church not because they like Pastor Jay or they like Brooks singing because there was a man of God that they met named Mark Swanberg. And there's this moment that's gonna happen in the church where giftings and talents are gonna be released and people are gonna come to Parkway, not because they think Pastor Jay is cool or not, or he speaks in good stories or riddles, or he exposits the scriptures the way that they like them. Listen, if you're waiting for God to do something in our community based upon me, and don't be careful here, don't offend your pastor. If you're waiting just for it to happen through me, you're going to be waiting for a long time. I'm going to reach the ones and twos just like you're called to reach the ones and twos. But what I'm believing for is people, when they come on this campus, when they encounter the real believer that's not been domesticized, they've become dangerous once again, that they're going to see Jesus in Mark. They're going to see Jesus in Steve Elam. They're going to see Jesus in Casey Scott as he ramps up this youth center, that there's a whole center. That it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you've been or where you've come from. God wants to use you. It doesn't matter if you think that your best days are behind you. No, for such a time as this. I had the privilege of sitting with Don Miller and Peyton at lunch this last week, and Peyton's a young man in our church that, man, God's doing some incredible things with. Son, you're not a victim, you're a victor. God's got great things for you. There's great days ahead. You're a warrior. You're a warrior for God. You're going to tell the insecurities of your life to shut up, because you are a young man full of purpose and passion, and God's going to do incredible. He's doing incredible things through you. But I got an opportunity to take Peyton to hang out with Don Miller. And I said, Don, would you tell Peyton, like, what's the one thing that you could do all over again? And with Don, with tears in his eyes, said, son, just give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. It's when the old gets reunited with the young. I'm just telling you, there is something so special about what God is doing here. But I feel burdened. There's things that I can do as your pastor, and there's things that I can't do. I cannot make a decision for you to say, Lord, make me dangerous. Make me dangerous. And each one of you is so uniquely positioned. To the doctors that are in the house, to the law enforcement that's in the house, to the teachers that are in this house, to the government workers that are in this house, to the classmates that are in this house, to the school attendees, to the retired, to the entrepreneur, to the business owner, God has positioned this church to be dangerous for His kingdom, and the enemy is so scared. But I am praying for the anointing of God to rise up and to be encouraged, to put courage back in you. The move of God is not coming one day. The move of God is here. Holy Spirit, we need you to take us from second and third gear to fourth and fifth gear. Gail Marsh had a vision, had a dream. That she walked in one day and she saw on the sides of our church like old wheelchairs that were hung up and canes that were hung up, almost like as a testimony of like when God did the miraculous. We're just going to put that over there as a sign that He's done it. So the place was so full and people were scattered because they were having a moment with the Holy Spirit. If all you've ever been is to a church where you come and you just listen to a pastor, and I'm not knocking it, but if all you've ever done is come and just hear from someone else regurgitating what God has spoken to them through you, you've become domesticized. But to know that there's the Creator of the universe who He wants to speak to you, you have His ear, and if you'll allow Him, you can have His voice be a part of this inner ear of hearing from Him. Lord, that you would pour it out. A church that doesn't want to just come and be domesticized, but a church that wants to become dangerous. God, that your presence would come, that we wouldn't be scared to wait. We wouldn't be scared to kneel. We wouldn't be scared to do as your word says in Peter, to lift up our holy hands. That we wouldn't be scared of the giftings and talents and abilities that you've called us to. God, I just want to be dangerous for your kingdom. There's people here, as I hear the Holy Spirit, you say, Pastor, I want to be dangerous, but I am in the middle. You're even thinking about it as I've been talking. I'm in the middle of an addiction or a stronghold in my life that I can't get out of. It could be religious mindsets. It could be the love of money. It could be pornography. It could be mindset. You always feel like you're the victim. You're always constantly offended. And before you can ever get dangerous for the Lord, you're going to have to get rid of the strongholds that are in your life. And you do that by the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing that breaks every yoke. I don't know who you are, and if you're so bold to stand up and you say, Pastor, there are strongholds and addictions in my life that have to go. I have to be poured out so that I can be filled up. If that's you, I want you to stand on your feet right now. Pastor, there's strongholds and addictions in my life. There's things and areas in my life. If that's you, would you stand up? Women of God that are next to these people, would you just go surround them? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. There's someone else in here, by the way, that you don't even call it a stronghold, but you have such poor self-esteem that you don't even know why God is calling you to do what He's called you to do. If that's you, I want you to stand up too right now. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, that you're setting and loosing people. Hallelujah. 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 If you've never never been part of this kind of church or moment, I completely understand, but just want you to pray. Would you, just from your seat, would you stretch your hands towards these people that have stood up? Brooke, would you just begin to sing, pour it out, pour it out. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Yes, Lord, we thank you.
Pour it out, and pour it out. Pour it out. And pour it out.
Hallelujah. That were just prayed for and have been being prayed for, I want to teach you something just really quick. Could you guys look at me really quick? Those of you that just got prayed for, I want you to grab the hands. Bear, could you? Bear, just really quick. I want you to listen to instruction from the Holy Spirit. Those of you guys that just prayed for some, I want you to grab the hands of those that just prayed for, and I want you to pray for the people around you. I want you to say, Lord, thank you for freeing me so that I can help free others. Because this victim trap, oftentimes we pray for a cycle that never ends. And what the Lord wants you to do is to know that you're the head and not the tail. And so you're going to begin to pray. So just go right now, 30 seconds, begin to pray for those that are around you right now. Use your voice. Hallelujah.
Soil, fresh soil, oil of your presence, pour
feel like some of us are supposed to be taking a step. I've got some anointing oil, and for those of you that are new to the faith, I want you to know the Bible talks about anointing someone with oil as an act of saying, Lord, I'm going to be set apart for your specific use. And I had a brother in Christ just come up to me and say, I felt like you're supposed to anoint me because I want to be dangerous. And so we have some prayer warriors that want to anoint with oil. But if you say, Pastor, I want to be dangerous. And I want to be set apart and not just be domiciled anymore, but I want to be used for kingdom work. Would you guys come and would you line up all down front? And board members and elders are going to begin to be praying over you and praying the prayer of faith. And if you're, consider this your official dismissal. If you guys need to leave today, we're so grateful and thankful that you guys have been here today. This pastor loves you. We're going to spend a few moments praying for some people about being dangerous for the Lord. If you feel like you can come help this pastoral staff pray, would you come and stand behind? But I need all pastors and staff, some prayer warriors, some people to come, and we're going to begin to lay hands on people.